you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Wole, Ray, Jeezy, Will T, part of Sports Journey. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports teams. What's going on, Ray and Will T? What's good?
Good evening, fam.
Good evening. What's going on, fellas?
Everything good? Another banging show, man. We got an amazing guest, so I don't want to keep him waiting. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll have Dr. Henry Wise Junior High School basketball coach Lewis Wilson at 8:20. We'll dive into the Washington football team losing to the Lions 30-27 and their upcoming game against the Cincinnati Bengals. At 8:35, we'll discuss who the Washington Wizards should target during Wednesday's NBA draft. At 8:45, we'll talk about Chris Paul getting traded to the Phoenix Suns, James Harden asking to be traded, and other NBA transactions. Finally, we'll talk about WBO welterweight champ Terrence Bud Crawford, TKO, and Kell Brook Saturday night. But Ray, you have our cool guest online, man. Can you introduce him?
Absolutely. Now, guys, you know how we roll on the urban sports scene. I just want to thank all the listeners for their support. But you know, whenever I introduce a guest, I always emphasize, hopefully it will be one of many appearances. So this next guest needs no introduction because he's already been on with us before. We're glad to have him back. Of course, this coach has amassed over 700-plus victories, numerous championships, and now he can add Hall of Famer to his resume. Welcome, Coach Lewis Wilson. What's happening, brother? Welcome back.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me back. I really appreciate you guys having me back on the show. It's always a blast. And I'm just looking forward to having a great conversation with you guys.
Well, we appreciate you for Absolutely. Being on. We definitely appreciate you for being on. So Ray mentioned recently you were inducted to the Prince George's County Public Schools Hall of Fame. What does that honor mean to you?
Oh, I tell you, it was a great, great honor. I'm just kind of sad, you know, that my dad is not alive to see and to hear all the great things that I've been, doing since he's passed. I stand on his shoulders. I mean, he was a great leader in the community of Prince George's County. He has a building named after him. And for me to have a small imprint in Prince George's County by getting inducted into the Prince George's County Hall of Fame, I know he would be proud of me, as well as my family, as well as all of my former players. They're always reaching out to me and sending me congrats. And I have so many stories that a lot of my players have sent me about how I saved their lives and how I did so much to get them into college. And if it wasn't for me, you know, giving them that positive support, they don't know where they would be today. And so I get so many great compliments. And I treasure that more than I treasure the honors that I've received. Just to help all the young student athletes that I come across. It gives me joy to see them succeed in life and in basketball.
Absolutely. That's a blessing. And I wanted to ask you, with all that you've accomplished, with all the lives you've touched, not just, of course, the lives of these young men, but also their families, did you see this honor coming, or were you kind of caught off guard when you were inducted into the Hall of Fame?
I did not see it coming, but, you know, I've been told many, many times on many occasions for years and years that, you know, I'm a Hall of Fame coach, and I should be in the Hall of Fame and all those kinds of things. But I never strive to be in the Hall of Fame, but when I got the message that I was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, I mean, I was ecstatic. I was excited. I was honored to have that that title. I am a Hall of Famer from Howard University. I went into the Howard University Hall of Fame for our 1980-81 men's basketball championship. We went to the NCAA. So I'm a two-time Hall of Famer. So I'm kind of proud of that. Kind of proud of that.
And you should be.
Yeah, now you mentioned in the same breath as Martin Lawrence.
I know. Dope, I thought it was so cool.
How cool is that,
it
man?
It is. I mean, actually.
A guy that I idolized watching on TV, Martin. You know, that's my dude. That's my guy, man. I mean, I watched him. Oh, man. All my life I've been watching Martin Lawrence and two. Be on the same platform as he. It's amazing. It's just amazing. And Susan O'Malley, I mean, the first woman, you know, in the sports, you know, and for the Bullets back then, you know, and the famous Steny Hoyer. I mean, it was just amazing just to be mentioned among some of the great people to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So I'm blessed.
Yeah, it was well done. I watched it. It was well done. I thought PG did a great job. Even though in these times, you know, we're doing everything virtually, I thought they did a great job with the announcements on TV.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job. You know, shout out to, you know, Dr. Monica Golston and her staff. They did an amazing job putting it together. You know, the excellence committee did a wonderful job making us feel like we were definitely Hall of Fame. And I tell you, another thing that really went well for me was that evening. Of course, you know, we weren't in at the, you know, MGM or anywhere like that. But my family, my wife and my two sons, they did a fantastic job for me. I mean, it was almost like it was just an amazing night because I had to go upstairs. I had to get dressed, put my suit on, get ready for the, you know, big affair. And when I'm coming down the stairs, the lights are off and they start flickering. And one of my sons is playing, you know, this intro music. And, you know, it was amazing.
Okay.
It was amazing. They had a little intro music.
That's awesome.
You know, I got my suit on. So I'm walking down through the hallway. I go in the kitchen. My wife is there. She got dinner all prepared and everything. So, you know, it was a fantastic night. I mean.
I love it.
Yeah.
Coach, it sounds like just an amazing time. It really does. And it begs the question. What's next? It feels like you still have a lot left to accomplish in the coaching world. What is your thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, I love what I'm doing. I mean, I'm going to continue to grind and continue to, you know, get these student athletes better. Right now, we can't do any person to person with them. So I'm doing a lot of Zoom. I'm doing a lot of Zoom instructions with them. I'm letting them talk to some of my former players, and We're working on their mental conditioning right now. That's what I'm doing with my players, working on their mental conditioning, trying to get them to stay focused, to be present in the moment, you know, visualize what they want, you know, in life, visualize what they're going to do, and then, you know, work hard to be mentally tough at achieving your goals. So I've had, you know, yesterday I had an amazing guest on. I had Walt the Wizard Williams on, PG County Finest, on and talking with my guys. I've had Quinn Cook from the L.A. Lakers, the champions L.A. Lakers, talking to my guys. I've had Don Reed play for me at Largo, play for Detroit Pistons, played at Georgetown. He was on. I had Dickie Simpkins on. He's with the Wizards office right now. Played with the Chicago Bulls for 6 years. I had the youngest principal in the area. Matter of fact, the youngest principal in the United States, Keon Hill, who played for me at point guard position that went on to Howard University. He's 26 years old, the youngest principal in the country, and he's been on to talk to my guys. So I've been trying to do some mental things for them to get them tougher. And, yeah, I have a lot in the tank. You know, I want to continue to you know, have them work hard as a team. I want them to be mentally prepared, you know, just for practice, for games, and for class work, you know. So it's just that extra stuff that they have to do, you know, paying attention to details and, you know, being a good teammate. So I have a lot in my tank that I still have to give to these student athletes. So I'm just looking forward to grinding and waiting for the pandemic to pass us so we can get back to work.
Wow. I know that within the message that you're all already conveying to your players, there's got to be something about never take, you know, basketball and life for granted, because when events like this occur, it just reminds us how blessed we are to step on the court, to have the ability to play, to be able to go to school in person, to be able to interact with your friends. So you answered our next question already. I appreciate just all that you're doing for these young guys. But
yeah, well
I do want to add. Oh, go ahead.
I had one guest on my show, a former teammate of mine. We put together at Howard University. He has an NBA championship ring, and he said it in a way that, you know, the kids probably understood, you know, that yes, basketball is something that we love, something that we want to do, but make sure we don't put all of our eggs in one basket. Make sure you have something else to fall back on other than basketball. So, you know, they're getting messages like that from, you know, from former, you know, NBA players that played in Prince George's County Public Schools and that I'm associated with. So these things are being embedded in these student athletes, and I'm just praying that they, you know, take heed and do their very best for us.
Great stuff. So I need to ask you this, because you having a guy like Walt Williams on gives players of today a chance to see the history of basketball in Maryland. It's also, of course, a historical NBA player. I mean, Walt was good on every level.
Yep.
So on that note, I guess, talking about history, what can you tell us about your recollection of how HBCUs were once prominent when it came to sports? We just had a guest on recently who he said you could walk on any black college campus and you would see just as many NFL players as you would, you know, one of these bigger schools like Alabama, so to speak. And we feel as though this is now coming back. You're a graduate, former player for Howard. What do you feel about the direction of HBCU athletics?
Whoever you had on hit it right on. They're right on point. You know, there's so many talented athletes in the HBCUs. And I think that the younger generation now is starting to open their eyes to the fact that, you know, you can get whatever you want wherever you go. And if going to a HBCU is something that is embedded in you, something that you aspire to get an education from that university, then by all means, you know, go to that university, even if it's an HBCU. And if you're a basketball player, if you're a football player, if you're a track star, whatever athletic genre you're in, you will be seen by anybody that wants to get you to excel to the professional level. If that's your dream. So, yeah, I think HBCUs is starting to come back around to have a lot more talented athletes at our universities.
So as far as you advising young men, this is definitely something it sounds like you're going to be encouraging. I'm not saying, of course, you're going to make decisions for them. I already know that. But is this part of your sticking points now when you're advising guys on where to select schools and where to play at the next level? Is that coming into the conversation?
Well, you know, of course, they're asking for my opinion, and if there's HBCU school that's recruiting any of my athletes, I'm absolutely are going to, you know, give a positive spin on my experience in the HBCU. I was a student athlete there, and you know, they can look at my record and see how I progressed over my years in college on the campus. And not only did I progress basketball wise, but there was other avenues that, that came my way because I was at an HBCU.
So Coach, so
I'm looking forward to having those conversations whenever any of my student athletes are being recruited by an Ohio University or Morgan State University or Bethune-Cookman University, any of those schools, or Norfolk State. I've had student athletes to go to all of those universities. I've had students to go, my players to go to Norfolk State University. My players go to Howard University. My players have gone to Morgan State University. My players have gone to Bethune-Cookman College University. So I'm an advocate of HBCUs, that's for sure.
So, Coach, I mean, you're a Howard Bison, though. Like, what's your pitch to your kids? Like, go to Howard. You know, is it Howard homecoming? What's your pitch to them?
Well, I don't have to pitch Howard. I mean, it's the mecca. It's the mecca of all universities, not just HBCU. Oh,
there we go. I wanted to hear that.
I mean, look what we have been, you know, going into the White House now. Look,
oh, there you go.
Come on now. Come on. We've always had greatness to come out of Howard University.
Oh, man.
Ooh, okay, swagger.
I love it, though.
I like it.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted.
Well, Coach, it's always a blast having you on. As I mentioned earlier, we hope to have you on again in the future, and I'm hoping that we'll be closer to the end, if not on the other side of this pandemic, so we can really talk some X's and O's and talk some hoops and get back to life as we knew it before. But I appreciate just again your time tonight.
Thank you once again for having me. You guys do a tremendous job in urban sports. Hey, way to go. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Coach still there? Hello?
And we still here. Okay. I don't know, Coach.
Okay,
here,
Coach. Okay. Is Coach still here? Yo, Coach, thank you so much. We appreciate you for being on.
Hey, not a problem. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a blessed day. And like Ray said, we want to have you on again, hopefully after the pandemic.
Yeah, God bless you guys, and y'all stay safe, okay? Wear that mask and wash your hands.
Oh, definitely. Will do.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Oh, that was awesome, Ray. That was awesome, fellas. That was great. I want to hear about Howard to me was like Hillman back in the day, so.
Everything goes back to a different world, bro.
You know what I mean?
We got some work to do. We got some work to do, Role, because he named every school.
I know, but you and me, yes, I know. We got to get
our people on the map.
Bro, we do.
Tournament. It's some work.
This has been a trend, right? This has been a trend on most of these, like most of the coaches or people that have been to HBCUs. Like, you and me, yes, is like the last of the dying breed, dog. We don't get no love, man.
I've been trying to get players to go to, you know. UMS.
Oh, there you go, Coach.
I have not been successful to get anyone there yet.
Oh, you are not helping. You're not helping. You know that's part of my job. You're just reiterating.
Oh, man.
Push our alma mater even further.
I know. Ain't that the truth? All right. We're about to go to break. So another loss for the Washington football team, and they have the Bengals next. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole. Sunday, the Washington football team fell to the Detroit Lions 30-27 on a last minute field goal or last second field goal, whatever you want to call it. Your thoughts on the game, fellas? You can start with whoever.
I'll let Ray go first.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
You want me to go first?
Will, you haven't said much.
Yeah, Will, you go first,
brother. Go ahead, Will. Jump in.
Well, a couple of things.
He's doing retro stuff.
You don't know what I'm talking
about. He's doing retro stuff, man.
Our cousins in Texas. Go ahead, bro.
So a couple of things stood out for me. One, Cam Sims stepped up again, mm-hmm. played well. Another 100-yard game. Two, Alex Smith. I had my questions about would the play calling change? How would Alex Smith stand up? Would Alex Smith be able to execute the game plan mm-hmm. for Scott Turner and Ron Rivera, you know, taking those intermediate and deep shots? He fared fairly well, in my opinion. Another observation I saw from the game was, is it just me or is it the scene whenever Alex Smith has been in the game throughout this season, you know, whether it was against the Rams, whether it was against the Giants last week, whether it was against the Giants or the Detroit Lions this past Sunday, he seems to get blitzed off the edge a lot, and he doesn't, yeah. And I don't know if he can't audible out of the play, I don't know if he can't change the protection or what. But it always seems like when the blitz coming off the edge always gets to Alex Smith mm-hmm. and rattles him.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I saw, you know, as far as blitz pickup from running backs and being able to change the protection. And also defensively.
Trash.
Chase Young made a huge mistake with mm-hmm. that late, you know, with the roughing the passer call that eventually ended up in the additional 15 yards, which allowed Jason Prater to kick the winning field goal. So there's just a lot of things. It just seemed a lot of undisciplined football is what I saw
yeah.
last Sunday. And once again, Washington had an opportunity to win, but they let the Detroit Lions off the hook, as usual.
Mm-hmm. Ray?
Man, I got to see the highs and lows again of the Washington football team fans on Twitter. Wole, I was watching you, bro. You were definitely one of them. And I feel as though just for a second there, you were not wanting Chase Young to be on this team. Maybe not to that level, but you were so upset with it.
No, I just said it quick. It was just dumb. Like the one thing on Twitter, like one thing when I'm on social media, I keep it 100. Like when something's stupid, it's stupid. Like when I saw it, I was like, that's just dumb. And then somebody tweeted was like, well, that was a bad call. Like, you don't put yourself in that situation. To Will T's point, that's just undisciplined football. Like, why would you even put that in the hands of the officials? Regardless of it, if your argument is, well, they've been doing that to Alex Smith all day. Well, it's the last drive. You don't put yourself in that situation. So it's undisciplined football. And when your team is undisciplined, who's that fall on? You don't always, it falls on like your coaching staff, because your coaching staff teaches discipline to be teaches a disciplined style of football. You never see that with certain coaches, undisciplined football, regardless if you're bad. Certain coaches, they it's enamored to you to play. At least you're going to play structured, clean football. You may not be a good football team, but you're going to play. I mean, in terms of winning and wins and losses, but you're not going to beat yourselves all the time. And this team has shown a pattern of playing undisciplined football.
Dude, we can have a discussion shortly, because I'm going to let you say your piece. I love the rant, though. You did exactly what I wanted you to do, and I mentioned
that's cool,
just
man.
How the fans were kind of having those waves of emotions. But remember last week, you and I had this discussion about winning the time of possession, and Washington dominated. But what's so perplexing is when you're dominating the time of possession, you were still losing the game.
Well,
it was great to see them come back. It's great to see offensive numbers, but I just don't understand offensively your team took so long to get started, and why the field doesn't seem so spaced out. I feel as though guys are so close together, and you have to target Terry McLaurin more often. I'm sorry, he's your number one receiver. He's clearly becoming a stud. Uh-huh. He's got to be a bigger part of the game plan.
I think the point is, like, all right, there's things that this team did as a whole, and what you're referring to, that the first drive, they're looking like they're going to score a touchdown. They're not looking like they're getting 3 points. It was second and two, I believe, from like the 15-yard line. What's the name? He runs a reverse. and loses like 10 yards. Like, he calls a reverse and loses like 10 yards on the play. Scott Turner calls a reverse and he loses like 10 yards on the play.
Okay.
So, like, you have that. Then you had drives where you had a missed field goal. Like, again, Hopkins misses a field goal. So they didn't have any points on the board. Then you had Scary Terry when they were driving. He fumbled the football. It's just, again, it just goes back to what we talked about. Again, it's just you're finding ways to beat yourselves. Good teams, average teams.
One question.
Go ahead, Will. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I thought you were pausing.
No, sorry. I was like, good teams. All I want to say is good teams, average teams, don't consistently beat themselves. This team, they don't just let the opposition beat them. They also include themselves in beating them. So it's a double whammy. You know, the opposition may be a better team, and this team also will compound on that by making idiotic mistakes.
One question I have for you, you know, you follow the team and you attended the games as a member of the media. Maybe you have some insight to this.
I love this dude, man.
No, I'm not trying to be
facetious
or anything.
No, I know.
Why is this team so committed to having Dustin Hopkins as their kicker?
Bro, I do not know. I will say this, though, because I met the dude. He's a very, very nice guy. Very, very nice guy. That I will say. He's a very, very nice guy. Like,
okay, that's
so
great.
I get it.
That's great.
Yeah, I know.
He's a guy. I get it. He's a guy. You are one of your neighbors.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand
facts.
That.
That's facts. I won't
but
lie to
why
you.
Why is Dustin Hopkins?
I don't know.
Why is the Washington football team so committed to Dustin
Hopkins?
This is
my issue with, like, one, you're right. I think he should have always had competition, and I think if he had competition in camp, he would have lost the job. My issue with the whole Dustin Hopkins thing in this situation is that we're going to talk about Dwayne eventually down the road, but you hold Dwayne, you said Dwayne wasn't living up, you know, for you wasn't living up to what you needed to win football games, but you consistently have this kicker who misses kicks almost every game. And you don't have that same – you don't hold him accountable like you held the quarterback. Like that's the thing. That's the problem with this whole regime. It's like you cannot single out one person and, okay, you did that. You made your change, fine, whatever. But then you have a kicker who consistently misses kicks that you need points. When you have drives where you have momentum and then he misses a kick and you're like, oh, here we go again. And he consistently does that. You have to set the tone and say, you know what? If I'm gonna do this to one position, I'm gonna hold this position the same way. Because he should have had somebody in camp to compete with Dustin Hopkins.
No, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that in the past when he's been injured, they bring him back.
Yeah.
His inconsistent kicking this year. And you mentioned it, Wole. Why is it that, you know, Ron Rivera and his coaching staff and the Washington football team's management, they're trying to create a culture of accountability.
Yeah.
How is it that someone such as Dustin Hopkins, who plays a position that is largely expendable, still on this team given his performance this year?
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, I'm being real. Like, I've said
in previous years.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, I've said, like, even coming into this season, I was like, you should bring somebody in camp to compete with them. He should not have a given job at all. Because over the last 3 years, he hasn't been consistent enough. You know what I mean? The first year when they signed him up, he was pretty accurate. But he hasn't. Like, recently, he just hasn't been accurate enough. And we're not talking about missing 45 to 50 yard field goals. The dude is missing like 38 yard field goals and extra points. I mean, when it gets that bad, man, you gotta make a change. You gotta make moves. All right, but the Washington football team, they're playing the Bengals on Sunday. Is the game against the Bengals truly winnable? I'll start with Ray.
Of course it is. As we're seeing in this league, every game is winnable. It's just a matter of what you pointed out earlier is you can't help your opponent. You can't aid your opponent when you're already a struggling football team. And what's interesting coming into this game is Dwayne may or may not get the opportunity to play.
if he were to get the opportunity to play, look who you're staring at on the opposite side of the field, Joe Burrow, a man who you beat out in college, and now you're seeing him starting in the league. Is that any motivation? To me, that's a storyline going into this week. And will you let that distract your football team? When I say will you let that distract your football team, I'm speaking to the coaching staff, because so far what we've seen from this coaching staff as a whole is that they have to be better. The whole purpose of you bringing on a new regime was to invoke culture change and insert culture change. And so far, again, it's debatable whether we've seen that. And how do you get your team to bounce back after a bad loss like they had on Sunday? So far, the team has started slow in most of their games this season. Will you repeat that against a team that also may come into this game demoralizing the Bengals after that performance against Pittsburgh? So I'm thinking that from the Bengals standpoint, they're looking at this as a W on their calendar.
Why wouldn't
and
they?
From a Washington standpoint, it comes down to the question you just asked. It comes down to the question, is this winnable? As opposed to the Bengals side of things, they're saying this is winnable. You have to go out there and prove them wrong. And every week is this discussion about can you win a division? Wole, my bad. I'm about to call you Wally. Whatever. You talked about how the Eagles are going to win a division. Well, it doesn't look that clear no more.
No, it doesn't.
And Washington, unfortunately, is still in the discussion.
No, stop talking about that discussion crap. I don't want to hear about it. They're in discussion. There shouldn't be no discussion. They're a horrible football team.
Well,
they're a horrible football team, bro. Stop it.
Wole, no, I mean, I understand your frustration, but should this team and the team's fan base aspire to gauge their record and their ability against the upper crust of the NFC? Absolutely. But the reality is we're in a division with the Eagles, the Giants, and the Cowboys, and the way all three of those teams are playing, you only can judge yourself against those in your division.
Yeah.
And let's just be honest, even though this team hasn't played well and neither have the other three teams played well, but they're still in the hunt.
Yeah, it's just sad. It's just very sad to even acknowledge.
Yeah, and you know, what's going to even make that more confounding is they play the Bengals this week, and like, you know, Ray said, you know, the Bengals probably think they have an opportunity to win, and also this Washington football team believes that they have an opportunity to win this week.
Yeah, believe it's a strong thing, man. It is. Believing is a strong thing.
Hey, Will.
It's very,
yeah. Awesome. You hear Wole, right, on his show, all the stuff he says. But if you look at his picks, he stayed picking Washington to win.
I know. It's so dumb. I'm so dumb, dog. Real talk. I'm so dumb. I don't know why. You know what? I'm probably going to do it this week, too. Just to be. I'm an idiot, dog. Like, I just want pain, bro. That's all I want, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm insane. That's just what it is, man. What's the definition of insanity? Keep doing the same things and hoping for a different result.
Doing the same thing over and over.
No, hoping for a different result.
That's
right?
What you do.
Yeah, man. Terrible, man. I always thought I was crazy anyway. All right, who should the Wizards draft? We'll throw out our suggestions after the break.
Oh, listen to the Urban Sports Scene. Let's go.
The agents.
You dig.
Deuces.
What'd you say, like? Yeah. I got a Mac in the vision, no cataract in my pupil. Don't understand my decision, so I don't need your approval. I'm a motherfucking villain, just like you see in the movie. But still, I'm a hero. Stay low key like a casino. Hit no weave of casino. Pocket full of casino. Back on full of that primo. Bad drinking no Pinot and margarita bikinis in different cities. You seen it with Nick and Serena. Lick at me, still Hampton. I see the line between a maniac and a genius. Fill up arenas, promoters. Take that to the cleaner. 2 decades straight, 100 show, 100K at the gate. A night of peace, capiche, bread bigger than me.
On the road to riches and diamond rings.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole. The Washington, and we're now part of a sports journey. The Washington Wizards have the 9th pick in the NBA draft. Realistically speaking, who would you like for this team to draft? I'm going to start with Will.
Realistically speaking?
Yeah.
Either Devin Vassell out of Florida State, or I think he may be around Tyrese Halliburton.
That's Halliburton. He plays
those
for
who? Two guys that I think.
He plays for
Iowa State.
Iowa State. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
To me, Tyrese Halliburton, his game reminds me of Malcolm Brogdon a little bit. So, Wizards could definitely use a backup point guard, regardless of what others said. They didn't have a backup point guard that they were grooming or could be groomed for the future.
Yeah.
So, I'm a fan of either one of those guys.
Right, who you got? What's your preference?
I'm a huge fan. You know, I've been talking about Tyrese Halliburton forever.
Yeah.
But I'm growing more and more fond of Onyeka Okongwu, and I'm thinking
if he's there,
then you have to take him. I even like Jalen Smith. You know, they would be taking him really high if they took him with the pick that they have, because he's projected to go around 19th.
Mm-hmm.
But you did a good thing by drafting Rui Hachimura last year, of course. And then you bring in another sort of hybrid, 6'9", can run the floor, can shoot, can defend. I think it's perfect for what you're trying to accomplish defensively moving forward, because that's my focus. We've had many discussions, right, about where this team needs to improve. Scoring points isn't going to be their problem. It's can they stop anybody?
Mm.
And I believe you bring in Okongwu that he will help you defensively along with the pieces that you already have in place. And the guys that you have currently in the five position, such as the Thomas Bryant, they're just not athletic enough for today's game.
Yeah. I like Okongwu.
That's a great.
Go ahead. Go, Will.
No, that's a great suggestion, Ray, but I just don't think Okongwu is going to be available at pick number 9.
You know who I want him to get?
I just don't see it any way possible. I don't think he makes it past. I don't think he makes it past Detroit if he isn't drafted by Chicago or Charlotte.
I wish they'd drafted Bobo last year. Then we wouldn't even be having this discussion. My gosh! Even though I like Admiral, but
he ain't
still.
No Bobo. He ain't no Bobo. That's a whole different animal.
Man,
you know what? It's Greg Anthony's son. I want Greg Anthony's son. I want them to get Greg Anthony's son.
Cole Anthony.
Oh, man, I think he liked that. I think he is so.
Nah, I think he going to the Sixers.
You think he going to the Sixers?
I think he goes to the Sixers.
Yeah, he's not. Nah,
I think he goes to the Sixers at like pick 21.
Man, I think that dude going to be a stud. I think he got an NBA game. He just that he had injuries at Carolina that kind of derailed him. But I think whoever gets him is a steal. They get a steal. I like Okongwu from UA. I like him. I think that's a good fit. I'm with Ray in terms they need some athleticism. If he does slip there, that's definitely the ideal pick. And Halliburton is a player they would, I think they can utilize. But I feel like they have players like Halliburton on their squad though. But I think there's more for depth for the Wizards. You know, this draft isn't the deepest draft. So they just got to find a smart basketball player who can fit to what they want to do. What do you think?
I will push back. There's some talent later. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's some talent later in the middle of this draft,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. I can't pronounce his name. The center from Serbia, Alexi, I forgot his name. But he's like a 7-foot center. Serbia.
Not the shooter. He can shoot the three. The dude who can shoot the three? The one who can shoot the three?
No, not him.
Okay.
I forgot. He's from Serbia, but he's a guy who has a good skill set for a center. Then I also like Josh Green from Arizona.
Oh, he's supposed to come to LA.
A guy that's not going to be. Yeah, he's a guy who's not going to be picked in the draft.
Yeah, you said what? You say he's not supposed to be picked in the first. He's going to be late first round pick, right?
He's a guy who's not necessarily projected to be a lottery pick, but I think he's going to be a serviceable NBA player.
Red Mamba, right? The Red Mamba.
Yeah.
That's what they call him. I think there's some good basketball players. I just don't. It's just interesting. I mean, it's an interesting draft. It could be similar to what when Kawhi got drafted. Kawhi ended up being like the better, I guess. Was Steph in that draft too with Kawhi?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. That's the Otto Porter draft, right? With Kawhi, right? That's the Otto Porter draft. Am I correct? Or am I off on that one?
Yeah.
Right?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe that's the Otto Porter, Klay Thompson.
Is it? I could be wrong.
Right.
But I just think that, yeah. There's some players. I mean, in any draft, right, there are players that, you know, that could be a middle round pick, a mid rounder in terms of the first round or in the late rounds where, you know, they end up being, you know, really good basketball players or all-star caliber basketball players. Like, I want to say, was it Josh? Is it Josh Howard? Who played for Wake Forest? Was it Josh Howard back in the day? Went to Dallas Mavericks. Is it Josh Howard? Or I know it's Howard.
To correct you, the 2013 draft, that wasn't the draft.
Okay.
With, Klay Thompson.
Okay.
And
yeah, but we'll see, man. Hopefully, the Wizards make the right decision. That's all we want as Washington folks who follow this team. I can't say I'm a fan of the team, but I do follow the team and support some certain players of the team. That you just want this team to draft correctly and support their point guard, which we'll talk about in the next segment, because a lot of talk with these trades and transactions and whatnot and rumors. One of them is James Harden wants out of Houston, and Chris Paul officially was traded to the Phoenix Suns. We'll discuss this. And much more after the break and listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, Ray, Jeezy, now part of Sports Journey. So check us out at sportsjourney.com. I wanted to talk about Chris Paul, you know, being traded to the Suns, but you know, this popped up. There's a rumor now that John Wall and Russell Westbrook may be involved in the trade, having John Wall go to the Houston Rockets and Russ coming to DC. Ray, I want your thoughts on that, man. What's up with that, man?
See, I want to put out there very quickly, because I'm on YouTube now advocating for John Wall in D.C. I am a John Wall fan. I will say it again. However, there are many reasons why I would love this trade, and I'm not necessarily loyal to John Wall. Why should I be? You know what I'm saying? It ain't like I know him personally. Even if he came on this show, I would still show him love. But I'm sorry, I am a Wizards fan. I'm not even going to front. Sorry, Knicks fans. You know, your team is worse. But anyway, Russell Westbrook has a very comparable contract. And actually, you'd be saving a little bit of money bringing him in. He's more durable. He's a former MVP, All-NBA. Every year, he plays nearly every game. I think he played 80 games last season. Russell Westbrook is always going to give you 110%, especially on the defensive end. I'm a beat it to death. Defense is what this Wizards team needs. He will reunite with Scott Brooks. That's just a few reasons why I think this will be great for the Washington Wizards. And also them actually showing some stones and doing something bold. When we had Ernie as the general manager, what did he do? Andrew Nicholson, Yao Mahimi, those were the splashes. this will be a real splash right here.
Well, T,
allow me to retort. I hate this potential trade. Here's why. Russell Westbrook is a very ball dominant guard. Not only is he a very ball dominant guard, but from a personality standpoint, he has a very dominant personality. Bradley Beal is starting to come into his own as a leader of this organization. Bradley Beal averaged 30 points last year, 6 assists, and I believe 5 rebounds. So you're starting to see kind of, you know, in previous years, we thought of this as John Wall's team, but now this team is starting to transition and become Bradley Beal's team. You add Russell Westbrook to that, and I think that very much stymies Bradley Beal's ability to become a leader for this organization. And then we talk about the on-court dynamic of it. John Wall is what we would consider a real point guard, a pass-first point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You need that when you have a guy like Bradley Beal, who's a very good three-point shooter and has also started to add the aspect of being an effective playmaker. If you add Russell Westbrook at this point, to me, I just see it. Yes, Ray, you're right. It's a splash move, but isn't a splash move that helps put this team anywhere near the top four or five, the top three or four spots in the East.
Ray, it's all you. I think Will's talking to you.
Oh, I will. I'll definitely respond to that. Bradley Beal, can't argue with him becoming a leader. You can't argue with the fact that he gets better every season. However, with him leading the pack, it hasn't resulted in many wins. Russell Westbrook in the Eastern Conference? Can we get a chance to at least see that? That would be awesome. You can argue the fact that Russ is a ball stopper. He's a ball dominant guard. Again, I'm not even going to necessarily debate that. But Russell Westbrook wins. Everywhere he goes, he wins. Even when he clashed somewhat with KD, he may have clashed with Harden. It's rumors that him and Harden didn't necessarily want to play with each other anymore. I don't know how true that is. It doesn't sound like it was true based on what we saw on social media when they were wishing each other happy birthday and all. But anywho, I believe that Russell Westbrook in the East would definitely be an even more dominant player than he was in the Western Conference, where he went up against the likes of Dame and Harden on a regular basis before he played with Harden and Steph and Clay. I'm telling you, it would be great to see Russell Westbrook go up against the Joel Embiid to renew actually a rivalry for the Wizards. Who is the Wizards' rival? Russell Westbrook will sell tickets. There's so much that he's going to bring to the table. And John Wall, the only I'm concerned about is injuries at this point. I love the fact that he's a pass-first point guard. He's a traditional point guard. But at this point, the concern is for his health. And they're only 2 years apart. Again, I feel as though you should make the deal. Atlanta looks like they're about to sign Gordon Hayward. And they got a young squad. They bring in a savvy veteran like him. Teams are making moves. You got to make moves too if you want to compete. I'm sorry.
I don't know, John.
Can't stay stagnant.
Great, very, very point. Great. Hold on, Wally. Let me just one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good point, Ray. But one thing I think me and you have failed to bring up to this point is the Wizards currently have Russell Westbrook's old coach, right?
Yeah, that's
right. You have a guy who knows a lot about Russell Westbrook as a player. Do you think that it's telling or not? Well, I'm not going to say because we don't know what Scott Brooks thinks. But one of the things that came out, after Scott Brooks was let go of the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder was he didn't hold Russell Westbrook accountable enough. Kevin Durant, who was also the star player on that team, felt that way. Do you think that it would be a positive for this organization if they have Scott Brooks as the coach and who has a track record of not being able to hold Russell Westbrook accountable? what does that do from a morale standpoint for this team going forward? If he's on the
Here's how I'll answer that real quick. Reggie Jackson, who's now in Detroit, is he in Detroit? I'm sorry, the Clippers. He's with the Clippers. I apologize.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson was disgruntled in Oklahoma City because he wanted more playing time. He felt as though he needed to be on the floor. He could help the team get over the hump in terms of winning a championship. But what does Scott Brooks consistently say? He's forgetting that in front of him is a guy named Russell Westbrook, a walking triple-double. So you know that him and Russ, just from that standpoint alone, that says that they have a good relationship and he's an advocate. Now, there may be that Doug Collins, Jordan type of dynamic there to where maybe he gets away with too much. I'm not sure, but I feel as though the coach-player relationship would be fine, honestly, just based on that.
Walls is just.
Go ahead, Wall. You
know, I'm saying the Wall is just a better. I mean, we're talking point guards. Wall is just a better point guard at this particular. As playing the point guard position, if you get the triple doubles, sometimes triple doubles get masked into a lot. Like, he rebounds well. I mean, Russ rebounds well, plays with a certain amount of energy. But there are times in a basketball game we just got to assess the IQ and what you're doing in critical times in terms of making the right basketball play. And many times, regardless you like Wall or hate Wall or whatever, you get on his jumper or whatnot. That dude makes great basketball plays in terms of getting his teammates involved and having just being a basketball savant as a point guard and knowing where to pick his spots, where to drive, where to kick it out. The only knock we've ever had about John Wall, to be honest with you, is that, well, two knocks. He complains about calls. He does. He complains about calls. And second is his jumper. But in terms of getting his players involved, we've always made the argument that John Wall has made this player a lot of money because he made Otto Porter better. He's made Trevor Ariza a better basketball player. He's made Paul Pierce, who he looked like he was done. He came to D.C. He made him a better basketball player. John Wall has made players better, period. And you can, like, Steven Adams is still decent in OKC. He's the same Steven Adams. Ibaka is the same Ibaka. You can't really say that what Russ, even though with his triple-doubles, has made players better as a point guard. Because if we're talking about point guards, we're not talking about triple-doubles. We're talking about point guards are playing the position. Just like we talk about Chris Paul. Chris Paul, which we mentioned, you know, before break, Chris Paul makes his players better. He's made DeAndre Jordan better. He helped Blake Griffin get better. Like, Blake Griffin got easier buckets playing with Chris Paul. Something about playing with John Wall makes you better. Now, granted, we could talk about health, this, that, the other. I get that. That's a good argument. I'm not taking that away. But Russ has had some injuries too. Bounced back. He had an injury during this part of the season and missed a few games. But I'm just saying that John Wall, in terms of playing the position for this and for this Washington for the Washington Wizards, it's a good fit because there are players that he can get involved and he can get easy buckets to mask their deficiencies offensively in terms of the individual players of creating their own shots.
You never mentioned defense in all that you said.
Well, John Wall's a decent, to me, I've always, and you know this, I've said this before, defensively
John
Wall
the work.
Is just as good a defender as Russ. And Russ has gotten over
when he locks in.
Yeah,
when he locks
but
in.
Russ is the same way though.
But when does
real
he
talk,
lock in on
no,
defense?
No, real talk.
That's
Ray, Russ is the same way. Russ hasn't been that same defensive baller for real since he first broke in the league 5 years ago. Because just like I said, talk about Wall. Russ in UCLA was an all world defender before he came to the league. Before he even thought offense, you know what I'm saying? He got in the league, then he had to start thinking offense. Russ has been a good defender, but once he got offensive, Russ wasn't strapping people like he used to. The same thing with they're similar. They're similar defenders. You see, you can put up clips of Russ not paying attention to details, having people do backdoor cuts, and him not playing, him not bumping his man or following his man. He does the same exact thing that John Wall does. The same exact thing.
All right, I'm not going. Like I said, it's a great debate. Mm. Here's my thing.
Go ahead.
In terms of just us having this discussion, we talk about versus battles and stuff. So let's do it. I feel as though on this topic right here, me, myself, and Will T, we're objective. We have no favoritism. We're just sharing our opinions. Like, it won't make a break you either, honestly.
It won't.
But
there's a bias.
You always share your thoughts about Wall.
There's a
you
bias.
You always share your thoughts about Wall. You always share these thoughts about Russ. You're you were talking about how Oladipo was better in OKC than Russ was. So I already know where you stand.
I like Russ,
I understand
though.
It,
I like Russ, though. But I'm saying
No. I know you do because he's the cook Kobe.
No. Real talk. I'm going to be real with you. Go ahead. I'm going to let you be real with you, Bo.
Go ahead.
What I like
be
about
real.
Russ.
That's how I always know.
Yeah.
That
no. I'm going to keep it a buck.
Whenever you start like that.
No, because you're right. I said that. What I said about Russ is that I felt like Russ, to a point, yeah, about Oladipo, is that like Russ I won't say just Russ, coaching staff too, they didn't allow Oladipo to do what he was able to do in Indiana, because Oladipo was dropping buckets Orlando, went to OKC, you didn't hear, but everybody said he's a bum, went to Indiana, you pretty much got the same Oladipo, but more featured in Indiana. Then, all right, so now we're looking at Russ, what I like about Russ, which, you know, it's funny, is that he didn't let the naysayers change what he was about. And I respect that. Like, I do like that. Like, everybody was like, you got to defer to this. You got to defer. Like, Kevin Durant, you got to defer. When KD left, he balled out in terms of getting, you know, becoming an MVP. Like, he didn't listen to the naysayers. He didn't let them distract him from what he was doing on the basketball court. So, I respect Russ. He works hard. He plays hard. So, I respect that. I'm like, dude, I love watching Allen Iverson. He played hard. I love watching John Wall, who plays hard. I love watching players who do play hard. And I'm not going to take that away from Russ. Mm-hmm. Russ plays hard, and I enjoy watching a baller who's aggressive, is in your face, talking trash, and playing hard. I ain't going to hate him. He grew on me. Like, Russ grew on me, put it that way.
CP3 wins wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Russ, his team still was a winning playoff team, even after the departure of a superstar. Look at what happened when LeBron left Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what happens when superstars usually leave franchises. It's usually a rebuilding process most of the time, not all the time. There's going to be some instances where that's not the case. But for the most part, that's what we expect, right?
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City, I'm not going to say they didn't miss a beat, because, of course, you can't fill the void of Kevin Durant. It's impossible. However, again, they compete, and this man won a league MVP. You can say what you want about him or Harden, but you cannot argue against somebody winning a league MVP. That puts him in company with the GOATs, with Jordan, with Steph, with LeBron, with Magic. Russ is somebody that, in my opinion, even though people said his game wouldn't age well, look at him. He's still just as athletic as he was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're right. He has had some injuries, but they haven't slowed him as much as they had Wall. That's all I'm saying. But either way, I'm okay. Wall has built a great rapport with the fans here, with the city. I'm not going to be mad, but I like the fact that the Wizards are being aggressive.
All right, so real quick, I was going to talk about Chris Paul's trade. We're running out of time, but thoughts on something bigger. Chris Paul got traded to the Suns. Okay, it's cool. Suns will be okay. But James Harden has been rumored to be traded to the Nets. I just want to understand this for real, like real talk. Like, you think Kyrie's that is cool with that? Like, you think that dude is cool being third fiddle? Like, for real?
Apparently, no. That's what Chris Mannix is reporting, that he's not necessarily feeling it. Although, from what we are seeing, it sounds like Kevin Durant is the one recruiting James Harden. But I don't think they can make it work from a business perspective. So, I don't see it happening. James Harden, I don't know where he could end up in terms of what he's expecting to get paid if he wants to be on a winner. Because Philly is another team that has been mentioned as a suitor for him, playing for Doc and alongside, of course, Ben and Joel. But again, can you make that work money-wise when you already have so many? Well, you have three guys with huge contracts.
Oh, I think Ben be gone though. I think Ben would be gone. I think Ben would be gone though, right? I think Ben would be the one traded.
Oh, is that what you think? Although,
yeah, I think Ben
in
would
that
be
case,
gone.
Yeah, well, maybe you can make it work then. I didn't think that. I thought that when Daryl Morey started, he said that basically Ben and Joel were off limits.
They were making it sound like
so
they,
did
yeah.
Elton Brand.
There's a lot of rumors about Ben when dude came back. Like, there's a lot of rumors that Ben would be gone eventually. So, to me, if you get James Harden, you got to give up a superstar, or you got to give up the bank in terms of, like, especially if you train James Harden to the Nets, your first round pick ain't worth it. Like, you know, that ain't, you giving me four first rounders when you got James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons. Like, I mean, sorry, not Ben Simmons. James Harden, yeah, Kyrie Irving and Durant, like that's not good enough. Like, I'm, dude, you gotta give me a, like LeVert's great, I like LeVert, but you gotta give me more. Like we talking about James Harden, we talking about, you just talking about MVPs, we talking about a dude that had carried Houston for real, like for a long time before he got CP3, like he carried them to like the Western Conference Finals and played Golden State tough, which basically him as the only superstar. Nah, that dude, he need to, nah, like, you need to offer, well, you got to offer a lot to get a James Harden.
Ultimately, I don't think James Harden has moved from the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I kind of think that, too.
I think.
I'm with you. I agree. I don't think he really gets moved.
What did you say?
I agree with you. I don't think he gets moved. I agree with you.
He has too many. I think he has, like, 3 years left on his contract, if I'm not mistaken. And those 3 years would include this upcoming 2021 NBA season. So I don't think he gets moved.
Yeah, I'm with that. So, all right, it's about time to go to break. Bud TKO'd Kell Brook Saturday night. Is Bud the best boxer in the world? According to ESPN, the top rank he is. We'll talk about the fight after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
My ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a solo performer. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beer? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wreck his shots. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray, Jeezy. Will T had to step off of the show, but man, he's much appreciated, man. You know what I'm saying? He's a godfather of the show, man. He's one of the godfathers. All right. Last Saturday, WBO welterweight champ Terrence Bud Crawford TKO'd Kell Brook in the fourth round. I would say thoughts on the fight, but to me, he did what he's supposed to do, right, Ray? He did what he's supposed to do. He TKO'd a done boxer. Right,
Kell Brook is who we thought he is. Who we thought he was.
You know, I mean, he looked good 2-1. He had, like, to me, he had two out of the three rounds before that fourth round. But you know, it's like, to me, eventually the cream rises to the top. So when you're better than a particular boxer, that's going to happen. Eventually, you're going to do what you're supposed to do. Now, granted, he closed the show out, you know, and did what he had to do. He knocked him out. I mean, TKO'd him. He knocked him. He knocked him down with a jab that caught Kell Brook off guard, and then he finished the fight. You know, Bud does finish fights, so it is what it is. I have more of a thing about what I heard after the fight, and we'll talk about. Let me go to the next question, and the one I stated before we went to break. Do you agree with ESPN Bob Arum that Bud Crawford is the best boxer in the world? And I say that sarcastically, not about Bud being arguably the best boxer in the world, but ESPN and Bob Arum, because they did so much Saturday night, right? They did so much. But I want to get your opinion, though.
No, I don't agree with Bob Arum, because as we already know, and it's not Bud's, I'm not going to say it's not Bud's fault. It's a combination of Arum and Bud is the reason why Bud hasn't landed these big fights. Mm-hmm. If you look at the numbers, the preliminary numbers from this past weekend, because the event was free, mm-hmm. ESPN, just like in the Teofimo fight, averaged a ton of viewers,
yeah.
Which shows the type of guy Bud is,
yeah.
if you put him in a place to be marketed correctly.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, now, ESPN themselves, they don't market the fights, really. Bob Arum said that himself, but he's like, if you have ESPN Plus, which he feels like a lot of people do, I don't agree with that either, but he's like, then you're going to see a lot of promotion for Bud Crawford and all of Top Rank fighters. But what I'm saying is, when you know that you have a very popular fighter like Bud, then, in my opinion, when you're negotiating against guys like Errol Spence who do more pay-per-view numbers, you have to find a way to make that fight happen. But
it's like Aaron all this time has not been willing to concede. And now at this point, what he's trying to do is he's trying to keep Bud on his roster. That's all he's trying to do. Like, you can tell he doesn't even believe what he's saying. Bruh. He said if you put Errol Spence or Keith Thurman in a ring with Bud, he's going to do the same thing he did to Kell Brook. You're an idiot. You are a true idiot. If you think that he's going to knock Errol Spence out in the third round, and I mean, it didn't take much to get Kell Brook out of there. No disrespect to him, but it did not take much to get him out of there. My goodness, one flurry. I'm like, Gamboa showed more heart than Kell Brook. Oh. And you said that coming into the fight, Kell Brook was done. So Bob Arum is somebody who you can read him. Mm. You know what's going through the man's mind. And it's been coming out. Look at all his interviews. He's frustrated with Bud. He's frustrated with trying to get Bud to market himself. He's frustrated with the fact that they paid Bud so much, but they haven't gotten much they haven't gotten much in return because Bud hasn't sold any pay-per-views. It's the truth, but it's the opponent. I guarantee if they go to Al Haymon and
why not take the Porter fight?
Spence
take
gets
that
more of the and gets more, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right. Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying if Errol Spence is let's say Errol Spence gets 60, Bud 40, Al Haymon takes that plus the gate. You still, if you're Terrence Crawford, you're gonna make a ton of money because a lot of people are gonna buy that fight.
Yes.
If Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury can do 800,000 plus buys, then you know that fight.
Yes.
Would actually look like Floyd type numbers in a day and age where people are streaming and stealing. So you already know that Arum has dropped the ball. And Bud, this your last year with Top Rank, dude. You better learn your lesson. Even though I also don't like the fact that they didn't mention how Terrence turned down
Sean Porter,
yeah. and they also don't mention the fact that top rank fighters do. I mean, not top rank. I'm sorry, PBC fighters. They've been wanting to get in the ring with Terrence. It's like ESPN was trying to push a narrative,
oh my God,
like a political station. It was so freaking annoying. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's my issue. Like it was the ESPN Top Rank agenda. Like it was too much for me. And we talked about this. It was just
so bad.
It was just so bad, man. Like. This, and I, you know, and Earl on Twitter was like, he was jive cool with it, but man, like, to keep saying, like, to act like Earl is ducking Bud Crawford, like, this whole narrative is like, y'all getting real political, like, trying to brainwash people to say, all right, yeah, Earl is ducking Bud. Like, where are you getting that from? Like, for real, like, it's common sense. Like, y'all all, like, most of you folks love Mayweather. Right. Mayweather is not going to fight somebody just to fight somebody. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to be like, yo, what are you bringing to the table? It's a negotiating thing. What are you bringing to the table? You come at me 50-50. I'm Mayweather. You saying 50, and I'm not calling Earl Mayweather. But in this situation, when we're comparing the two in terms of pay-per-view buys, dude, you coming at me 50-50. Dog, I sold out Dallas, dog. I sold out Dallas. with Mikey. What you do? Like, what you do with Amir Khan? You thought Amir Khan was going to give you overseas money. But what you do with that pay-per-view? Like, what are your numbers? Your numbers don't equate. So you can't say that. You can't go into the game saying 50-50. That's not ducking. That's just business. Like, I don't care how skilled you are. Like you said, he's like the most skilled boxer. That means nothing. That means, like, at the end of the day, the viewers dictate how much you get paid because the viewers want to see you. And if you ain't getting – and if you ain't bringing that bank off of what you bring to the table, with marketing yourself and in the ring – you don't ask for 50-50. If Bob Arum wanted it so bad, do 60-40. If Bud beats Earl,
yep.
Bud's on a whole different level now, and it ain't even 60-40, it's 70-whatever, because then Bud is the top dude in boxing, period. That's what it is, dog. You start one way, and then you go off of that alone. Everybody's done that. Like, people have done that in the boxing game throughout. Like, people who fight, like, I believe when Holyfield fought Tyson, he took a substantial amount less compared to Tyson, and in the second fight, he made way more. So it doesn't, like, you do what you do. Like, you make what you do is, like, you take that because the numbers did dictate that Earl should get paid more. You take that and you rock with it. And if you beat Earl, dude, you on a whole different tax bracket and you don't got to worry about nothing. So I don't blame Bud. I blame Bob. I think Bob is doing that. I don't put that on Earl. I mean, on Bud. The only thing I put on Bud is that, dude, you shouldn't have signed that deal when you had an opportunity to get out.
Exactly.
That's the only thing I blame. Exactly. Like, you get out of that deal. Like, once you were out, yo, all the fighters are over there. And this whole thing about ducking, like, Thurman ducked you, and which is, these are all facts. Thurman ducked you. Danny Garcia ducked you. Bruh, they ducked the same dude on PBC. They ducked Earl. But as soon as they got desperate, now they want to fight Earl because they need a bam. They need Earl because Earl the top dog.
Exactly.
It's the same thing for you. Like, they going to challenge you now. They going to challenge you now because now you the top dog, so they got to challenge you. But when they were the top dogs, they going to look at you as a threat. They're going to be like, nah, that's a risky fight. I ain't going to take that fight. I'm going to fight somebody else. I'm going to look for that Pacquiao money before I look at the Bud money. Because, Bud, you ain't making no money, and you can beat me. So that's what they do. They did that with Earl, too. So I don't want to hear this notion that all the PBC fighters ducked. No, they ducked their own. They ducked Spence. So what does that mean?
Bro, that is the perfect point. And another thing, just going back to the broadcast real quick, it's like when you're on the air, when I say you, I'm talking about Andre Ward, Max Kellerman, Tim Bradley. It's as if they are being, told what they need to say and what they can't say. Because if you watch Andre Ward after the fight, it's like he kept it a buck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not the biggest fan of fighthype.com, but I'll give them a shout out on this. They had a great interview with Andre Ward after the fact. And he touched on all of what the discussion was. And he said that Spence holds the upper hand in terms of negotiations. He acknowledged that. Now, on the air, he's not going to say that. But, this pound for pound, Terrence pound for pound, Terrence pound for pound. It was like, oh, man, this is getting beyond annoying. Because they did the same thing with Lomachenko a few weeks before till he lost. And now it's like, all right, we got to now push Terrence because right now we know that PBC holds the upper hand. It looks as though, and I'm going to mention this too, it looks as though Tank Davis, his fight during the pandemic against Leo Santa Cruz, did more than what Terrence Crawford was doing in pay-per-view before the pandemic.
It did.
Which says that PBC still holds upper hand in spite of what Bob Arum is saying. So, yo, I don't care what you say about ESPN, ESPN Plus. Man, I don't have ESPN Plus. Wole, you don't have it. It's not as popular as what Arum is trying to say it is. ESPN has been said they bleed money from it.
Yeah.
Get out of here, bro. I don't want to hear. UFC on ESPN is more popular.
More popular than
Bob Arum
boxing.
Is crazy.
Sorry. It's way more popular.
Bob Arum is bad for boxing right at times. He is bad for boxing. But I got to show him love on the fact that his free shows have actually done well because he's put his best fighters in the ring. And that was smart.
I love that. That I do love. I'm not going to knock him, but I'm just talking about, I think he's done a smart thing by making his shows free. Like, but at the same time though, like, let's keep it a buck. Like, some of these dudes can't carry a pay-per-view card though, which is his fault, right? Like, I'm not going to, like, it's his fault. Like, he did a bad job with Bud. I'm sorry. Like, but to be that skilled of a boxer, to be arguably, to be real with you, because he's in the discussion, arguably the best boxer in the game. You know what I'm saying? So, like, and for him to not be pay-per-view, that's crazy. And in the era of wealth, at the time of welterweights right now, bro, like, he should be pay-per-view, but he's not. Like, but he's not. And that's a problem with promotion. You know what I'm saying? Like, they trying to get this Pacquiao money. Like, that's the desperate play now. Because you heard him talk about, we had Pacquiao lined up. I'm like, yo, Al Heyman is a tremendous and a very smart businessman. You know, and he has a stable of young, vicious boxers. Do you think, really, put your business hat on. Like, really, folks, I want everybody to listen. Put your business hat on. You got Earl Spence. He's this close, dog. He's your prize. He's basically your cash cow right now. If you're going to really rank his stable, you got Earl Spence. The Charlo brothers are pretty good, too. But you got Earl Spence. Like, and he's fighting Danny Garcia. If he beats Danny Garcia, right? And he'll probably do good pay-per-view buys. If he beats Danny Garcia, you don't think he's going to be like, yo, like, Al Heyman going to be like, yo, I'm going to give you Pacquiao. Because that's going to put you on a whole different bracket. That's going to put you on a whole different tax bracket. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Good point.
Because Because Pacquiao is in your stable. Like, he's not in – Pacquiao's in your stable. So now you're going to be like, hey, I got my stable. I got Manny here. It's an easy negotiating thing. I got Manny here. I help Manny out because, you know, I help pay Manny's taxes. So Manny's indebted to me anyway. I got Earl. That's my star. Yo, I'm gonna set that up. I'm gonna try to promote Earl to be the best boxer hands down, but via the pound for pound list, and in terms of making the draw as a box office smash. Dude, I'm gonna give that to Earl before I get at the Bud.
Well said, brother. Well said. I can't really add anything. Mm-hmm. I can't really add anything to that except Edgar Berlanga. Learn from Bud, brother. You have amazing talent.
Yeah, bro.
And if Top Rank don't display this dude more often, he's going to have to get up out of there.
Facts. That's facts. All right, we didn't get a chance to make our Week 10 NFL picks on air, but you can find our picks on the Football Garbage. It's a Week 11 night, Week 10. It's Week 11, right? Week 11, excuse me. You can make our picks at the Football Garbage Time website, which is at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene Football Garbage Time Challenge. Will T is currently in third place. I moved all the way up to fourth place, and Ray is in eighth place. George, the homie George is in second place now. He replaced Will T, and Hakun Wan from the Football Garbage Time Mob is in first place. So, you know, we making moves. Will T got to get his game up. You
good
know, he
stuff,
can't
be George. Good
I know.
Stuff,
and Will, yeah,
good
but Will T, you know, he slipped. You know what I'm saying? He was doing all that trash talking. I think Will T jinxed himself. Real talk, I think he jinxed himself.
He's overthinking it.
I know,
he's
bruh.
Overthinking it. By he's making not, different picks
I know.
Here and there. I know. He got three picks on three different platforms. He's like, dude, nobody cares.
Yeah,
and
look at now. Now
my goodness.
Look, and now he's slipping because of it. I think he was just doing way too much. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And again, check out our home, which is Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com. And also, I want to thank Coach Lewis Wilson again for being on the show.
Wilson,
he's awesome, man. One of the icons in this coaching game in PG County, period, in high school basketball, for real, if you don't know, the talent that he's produced, the where he's coached, and the influence, and you heard him in the interview, the influence that he's had on so many young kids who have now moved on into playing basketball at the highest level, or even just becoming great young men and you know, older men now. So Coach Wilson is – we are very grateful for you, you know, being part of the Urban Sports Scene, being on the show, and basically being family of the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. All right, man. I appreciate you all for listening. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega leaders out, big homie.